Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today.
Come and listen in to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God.
Get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on.
This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rohn.
Someone sent me the testimony of what happened to the founder of the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey. And today I want to share that with you as Christian news. Now, it's old news, and I'm sure that the media world is going to put out their view of what happened. But what about what Christians are seeing? What do Christians have to say? They have vital, credible news. Let's hear the credible news today. What happened to the founder of the Church of Satan? Our guest via recording, David and Cheryl Bryan. Here they are. Here's their story.
Hello there. My name's Dave Bryan, and me and my wife, Cheryl, pastor the Church of Glad Tidings in Yuba City, California. I want to tell you a supernatural story that takes us back to 1997 when a lady came into our church that we led to Christ, and she needed a place to stay. We took her into our home, and it was after we had her in our home that supernatural things began to occur. Lots of poltergeist situations that would happen at night, and it's quite a long story. It's contained in a book called The Serpent and the Savior. We had her in our house for 10 and a half months. We were doing deliverance almost around the clock, day and night, but a tremendous testimony.
My name is Cheryl Bryan. I was actually born in a place called Miracle Valley. My grandpa was A.A. Allen, and he was a deliverance miracle worker. And we really hadn't been involved in any of that sort of thing, but we had pastored and just loved people the best we could all of our lives. And the Holy Spirit was on me very strongly to fast and pray, and was speaking to me that deliverance was important and that we needed to be doing deliverance. And so I would be sharing with my husband, honey, I feel like we need to be doing deliverance. Well, little did I know, we were just around the corner from getting a graduate course in deliverance for our kindergarten experience. It was quite intense. This woman came into our church, and she was very broken. She was actually bald. She wore a little wig, but it was pretty ratty at the time, and she didn't have teeth, and she was very broken. You could tell that she'd been in many difficult situations. And when I saw her, my heart went out to her, and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me, and the Holy Spirit said, take her into your home and treat her like a blood sister. Well, when I hear the Holy Spirit say something like that, I take it very serious. I went to my husband and I said, honey, we're supposed to take that lady into our home, and God told me to treat her like a blood sister. So and Dave said, well, if you feel like that's the thing to do, then we'll do that.
This woman was born in a satanic ritual between Anton LaVey and an Illini Indian witch that was part of the Illini Indian nation that Illinois is named after. But even though she was conceived in evil and for evil purposes, God had a plan for her, and it's a wonderful story.
And we had always reached out to broken people, but never had these kinds of experiences. And this lady, because I didn't even know her, hardly knew her name, and I asked her if I could take her out for a hamburger. So I said, can I take you to get some lunch? And took her and said, so tell me about your life. Tell me about your story. And she started telling me. I said, when's your birthday? And she said, October 28th. And I said, oh my goodness, my birthday is October 26th. And she said, that was my baby sister's birthday. And I thought, oh my goodness. So God set me up to be a sister to this lady. And little did I know that her sister was sacrificed in a blood ritual. And God brought her a new sister that would care for her and really love her.
She had gone through six of the seven rituals of defilement, that were meant to defile a woman so completely that she was beyond redemption. And even though she had gone through six of those seven and was slated to go through the final ceremony, which is called the Bride of Satan ceremony on Halloween of 1997, it was in that last year leading up to that proposed ritual that she came into our church. She gave her life to the Lord.
When we first took her in, I had this ring that my husband got me for our 14th anniversary, and God spoke to me and said, give her that ring. Give Deborah Joy that ring for her water baptism. And I thought, oh dear, I'm going to be in trouble. My husband, I give away a lot of things, and I've given away a lot of rings and jewelry and things. And I said, well, you're going to need to talk to my husband and tell him I need to give it away. And so I said, I'll give it to her in a minute, but tell him. Well, we're driving across the Fifth Street Bridge in Marysville, and my husband looks at me and he says, I think we need to get this lady a ring for her water baptism. And I said, oh, I have just the ring that you're talking about. It's the one you got me for our 14th anniversary. While he was baptizing her that day in the water, he took the ring and he said, this ring is a symbol that you are the bride of Christ. And I remember thinking, what is he saying you are the bride of Christ for? That seems so odd to me. But we found out that night as demons began to rage through her and try to bite her finger off and say things like, she's ours and she'll always be ours. She'll never be the bride of Christ. We found out that she had been ritualized and was tortured from birth to be broken so badly that the demons would infiltrate her, take her over, and make life hell for her. And her life had literally been a living hell.
And when that happened, her birth father, Anton LaVey, who was the founder of the Church of Satan, the author of the Satanic Bible, and a very evil man, he began plans to try to get her out of our house and back into the satanic coven that he headed up. And so that put us into contact with the Church of Satan in Northern California. During that time, he would either call on a phone, or a lot of times he would astral project and actually speak through his daughter, Ray Ray LaVey, who I'll, from this point on, call Deborah Joy Bryan, because she legally changed her name, became part of our family. During that process, he was able to astral project, which means that he would leave his physical body, he would come in the spirit plane, and do what we call a body jacking. It's a lot like a carjacking, only it uses a human body. But in a carjacking, some violent criminal would just open the door and push the driver out of the way and take control. And this happens also on the spirit plane, and it's commonly referred to as zombieism, not the kind of thing you see in the movies, but traditional Trinidadian zombieism, where a occult practitioner will astral project and force its way into some human body where it can act and think and speak through them, and then leave them, go back into their own body. And this happens often. That's why many criminal acts are done and people don't remember having done them. But we had that happen a number of times during those 10 and a half months. And it was during those times that Anton would say, you wait until Halloween gets here and Ray Ray will be there either as the bride of Satan or as the blood sacrifice for our Halloween ceremonies. So we had that ongoing threat. Of course, we didn't know much about the occult when we embarked on this journey, but we did have confidence in Jesus. We had confidence in the Spirit of God and knew that the power of Christ was greater than any other power. And so he would mock us. Most often he would call me preacher boy. And say, preacher boy, when Halloween gets here, you'll see why I serve the dark master instead of the pathetic weakling, which was a disparaging term that he used to speak of Jesus Christ.
She was standing in the lobby of the church one day, and one of my friends walked over and said, I think that's the lady that Benny Hinn prophesied over. And I said, oh, I don't think so. She was raised in Satanism. I don't think she would have been at a Benny Hinn crusade. And She said, well, ask her. I'm pretty sure it's her. That looks like that lady. She had headgear on from an accident. So I said, well, it might have been. And so I went to Deborah and I said, Deborah, did a guy named Benny Hinn ever prophesy over you? She said, yes, he did. And she said, I went to a conference with, it wasn't a conference, but a convention with my aunt wanted to take me about a year ago. And he called me out and said, a pastor and his wife will take you into their home and they'll treat you like they're your own, like your blood family or like your family to them. And you will get set free and God will use that to set many, many people free. And we really loved her through hell for 10 months, day and night. We were doing intensive deliverance and really pretty much sleeping beside her, staying up with her. It was just extremely intense. She was so broken. She had so many demons. They did things to her like they would cut open a cow carcass and gut it and put a two-year-old little baby inside and put a tube in its mouth and bury it, sew that carcass up, bury it under the ground for 3 days. And they would do that to dismantle the person's mental capabilities so that they could implant many, many demons. And she would tell us horrific, horrific stories and just heartbreaking. But the love of God brought her to people that would treat her as a family and love her. And really, it was a delight. You're going to help me and I'm going to help you, possibly help us. She has nothing. But what she did have was an understanding of the spiritual reality that we did not have. We were Christians and always wanted to do the right thing, but we really did not understand spiritual reality. We didn't understand what happens to people when they go through extreme abuse. We didn't understand the angelic and how much help they are. So during those experiences, we learned a ton, and it was really quite amazing. It was intensive, to say the least, that I was home with her by myself. My husband was away fasting, and my son and I were sitting by the fireplace doing schoolwork, and she came down and was kind of upset because her daughter, who had tried to kill her, was in prison in juvenile authorities, and she was watching on TV that they weren't treating them that well, and she came down and was really upset. And I should have been more attentive to understand that it really wasn't just her, it was a spirit that was using her. And that would happen at the drop of a hat. It would be her, and then it switches over to where spirit's talking. It could be even in the middle of a sentence. They're talking along and shift in the middle of a sentence. And the demons took her over that night, and basically they were going to kill me. It was quite intense. My son experienced a very intensive assault against me. But in the middle of the demon grabbing me and throwing me up against the wall and flipping a table over and some crazy things in this little tiny short lady, I felt the love of God for her, and I just felt God saying to reaffirm my love for her. Well, the demons were saying, you're blankety blanking with the big boys and you're out of your league. Literally were pulling hair out of me, and it was quite crazy. And my son had ran to the other end of the house and was actually hiding and called somebody to come for help. But for me, I didn't feel afraid. I felt God's love for the broken woman that had been taken captive by the enemy. And I began to affirm that we love her, and love always wins. Love never fails. And that thing that called itself Horus let go of me at one point, and she came to her senses and she said, Sissy, they're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. I said, no, they won't kill me. But it was learning to love in spite of whatever happens that we needed to learn, that journey of just absolute surrender and love for the most broken.
So Halloween came, and taking good care of Deborah Joy, watching her carefully, we knew that the Church of Satan and Anton had been planning something sensational for many months, and we just didn't know what. So we had invited some of the intercessors from the Church of Glad Tidings to come over. We knew that the rituals would happen during the witching hour, beginning at midnight and going to 2 or 3 a.m. And so we asked our team to come over at 9. We had been fasting and praying. We asked them to come over. That way we would have a good 3-hour prayer meeting before the witching hour arrived. And just about where they were supposed to arrive, Deborah Joy came down and announced that she was going on a walk to go to 7-Eleven to get some coffee. And we knew that she knew better than that, but she seemed to be in her right mind. And so I said, Deborah Joy, we can't have you do that. You know that the Church of Satan is after you tonight. And so please go up to your room and pray. And so I stood watch at the front door of our old house in Yuba City. Cheryl stood watch at the back door. We were praying. And as we were praying, police cars with their lights and sirens, they came and they parked in front of our house. And I got up to see what was going on. At that time, Deborah Joy ran past me out of the house, was pointing at me, saying that I was an evil man, all kinds of profanity. And she began to say, he's sexually molested me and kept me as a captive for almost a year. And so I went to get her to keep her safe and to begin to rebuke the spirit through her. But little did I know that Anton had astral projected into her, took her over, called 911, told the police that I'd been sexually abusing her and had held her captive for 10 and a half months. So the police were there to arrest me, and I didn't know that. When I ran toward Deborah Joy, they drew their guns on me, going to arrest me and take me to jail. Again, Deborah Joy now, she's being animated by the spirit of her father, Anton LaVey. And so she was just spewing profanities and cursing at me. And she began to say, I told you, preacher boy, when Halloween got here, you would know why we serve the Dark Lord. They were going to arrest me. They put her in the squad car. And we have a ministry at our church called Trauma Intervention Program. And whenever there's a traumatic call, a 911 incident, we get a call and we dispatch somebody. And my good friend, Lou Benninger, who's one of the pastors, called that night and happened to be just around the corner from our house. He came by our house and we were praying. I was at that point setting on the steps. They were preparing to arrest me. And I have an old saying that I know God is speaking to me when I think thoughts that are smarter than I am. But in any event, I suddenly had the idea from God to get Cheryl's cell phone and have Lou Benninger, who again, he had his trauma intervention badge on. And so he showed up and I said, Lou, Deborah's at risk here. Anton's trying to kidnap her and get her up to the Satanic Ranch. You have to get in the back of the squad car and somehow sneak this phone into her pocket so we can track her. So Lou asked for permission as trauma intervention counselor to get into the squad car. He was able to slip the phone into her pocket. They took her away. Lou was also able to talk to the officers, and he said, this man is a respected pastor, and this woman has a long history of mental health. If you arrest him tonight and you're wrong about what's happened here, you could all lose your jobs. So they thought that through and agreed to allow me to stay home that night. They just told me that I wasn't able to follow her. If I tried to intervene in her life, that I would be arrested. So they took her away, still under the power of Anton LaVey's spirit that had taken control of her physical body. And we prayed and said, oh God, don't let it end this way. Help us. And so we agreed to go to two different places. I was headed up to the Satanic Ranch that was outside of Grass Valley in California to see if they were taking her there. And Cheryl and Lou Benninger headed to a place that we had nicknamed Hell Motel because of the propensity of witches and warlocks and occult practitioners to congregate there. And so sure enough, they saw her going into a Hell Motel, and they called me, and I went and joined them there. We called our intercessors team who had assembled at our house. And on the way over there, God just put in my mind just one statement, and that's to cut Anton LaVey's silver cord. If you know anything about that, that comes from the writings of King Solomon in Ecclesiastes. He uses it as a synonym of death. It says, serve God before your silver cord is cut. And I knew that was a thought from God. I know it sounds very intense, and it is, but I told the intercessors, let's all pray one thing, that God will cut Anton LaVey's silver cord. And we begin to pray that. I was standing in the road by the front door of Hell Motel. Cheryl and Lou were at the back door. And suddenly, Deborah Joy come running out the front door. And she calls me Daddy still to this day. She said, Daddy, help me. We put her in the car, took her back to where the intercessors were. And she told me on the way over there that she had come to her senses. She was in her room. It was filled with occult practitioners. Her family was there, Zena and Carla LaVey. And she said that the whole coven was gathered around Anton LaVey because he had bounced, as they call it, but he was not able to re-enter his body from the astral plane, which is equivalent to death. So when they were all focused on what was happening with Anton LaVey, and they were trying to conjure spirits and pray to Lucifer to revive him, they weren't watching her, and she jumped up and ran out. I was in the front of the apartment, standing in the street, and was able to get her in the car and head for our house. So we got her home. We were praying. We were thanking God for his miraculous intervention. When suddenly a spirit manifests through her that was a very powerful spirit, and her eyes turned red. We've done a lot of deliverance, but we knew this was a very powerful spirit. But it said, you've killed the high priest. And we began to rebuke it, ask what its name was. It said, I'm Leviathan. I'm the power spirit of Anton LaVey. And you killed the Black Pope, which was a title that Anton LaVey used of himself. And so we rebuked the spirit, and it left. And we were just left looking at each other and saying, well, apparently Anton's dead. The next thing that happened is another spirit manifest through Deborah Joy and said, you've killed my father, you're a murderer. And when the spirit said, you killed my father, I knew it was either Carla or Zena LaVey. And so I asked, what spirit are you? Are you Carla or Zena? It was Zena. And she said, how dare you? You killed the Black Pope. And we simply said, well, Zena, you know that we have authority to do that. And so you need to get back into your body, leave Deborah Joy, or we'll cut your cord also. And she instantly, she disappeared. She left Deborah Joy. And that was on Halloween night of 1997. It's been many years ago now, but it's so vivid in our memory. Because at that point, no one else in the world knew that Anton LaVey had died. But we knew not only that he had died, but he had died in a battle, a spiritual contest between spirit-filled Christians and his occult coven. And so, and it was the next day that we heard that Anton had died of cardiopulmonary. His heart had stopped. And the story after that, of course, is the demise of the Church of Satan. It never has recovered.
We brought in a young, broken lady into our home. Turns out that she was raised to be the Bride of the Beast and involved deeply in the occult. And God brought her to a family that would just love her and take her in. And it was not easy. It was not fast. But God set her free, and she is now very, very happy and delighted lady that lives across the country, but is doing really well.
She now has been married to Billy for over 10 years, and her family is saved. All of her family is saved. And it's a wonderful story of the mercies of God, a wonderful story of the power of the Holy Spirit. But more even than that, in my mind, is the love of God for broken people. and that God will go to great lengths to rescue those that call upon him.
And really our desire is to see people that have been through hell free and be able to worship the true living God and for heaven and earth to intersect. And so we've seen many miracles, seen amazing, amazing things happen during those days. We saw the dark side do its ugly stuff, and we saw God and the angels do their amazing things. And so it's been a journey of learning, and it's really an ongoing process for all of us. Freedom in our lives is an ongoing process. Freedom in Deborah Joyce was. And I thank God that she was right, that we learned a lot from her and she learned a lot from us, and we're all learning daily.
And so that's my supernatural story. I've told it many times all over the world, and each time I tell it, I'm overwhelmed with the amazing love and mercy of Christ and his ability to use ordinary people who believe in the power and authority of his name. So whatever you do, wherever you go, remember that we have authority over the powers of darkness through the name in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.
David and Cheryl Bryan, what an exciting testimony we had today of how God can work.
In the time of your greatest trial, he truly was God to you. And he's God in the broken, God way down at the door, God in the amen corner, and he's God all over the floor. I know God, saying that he won't ever change. I know God, he always will be God.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rome.
Do not be disheartened. I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he will pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
So, until we meet again, God bless you.